Those of you who were here on Sunday evening will remember we commenced a little study on the thought of fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We touched on the fellowship. Now let us catch up again with some of the things we said. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment and get that verse again because it's very important. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let me suggest to all our hearts that this would be the remedy for the trouble that was prevalent in the Corinthian assembly at that time. You will recall as you read down through this epistle that that church at Corinth was rent in every way, top to bottom and side to side. Oh, it's quite possible they were all meeting under the same roof, but they were divided. There was this section which said, oh, we like Peter's preaching, we're of Cephas. And the crowd said, oh, we like Apollos. And there's one, we like Paul. And they said, oh, we like Christ. They were divided. There was other things wrong in Corinth, but if you look at all the things that were wrong in Corinth, here was the cure. If only they could grasp that they had been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and God was faithful. In spite of their unfaithfulness, God remained faithful. God is not going to deny himself, even if you and I are unfaithful. God will abide and will remain faithful. And I pointed out that the fellowship here was the fellowship of his Son. That is, you're brought in to the family. And you're a co-heir with the Son. So you're brought into a place, just as David brought Mephibosheth in and constituted him as one of his own sons. But then I pointed out also the fellowship of his Son Jesus, suggesting it was fellowship with him in his rejection. But he's Jesus Christ. And I linked that with chapter 15. So we're brought into a fellowship where we have the hope of the resurrection. But he's Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the practice of recognizing the Lord's authority. Now, if you could have got all the Christians at Corinth just to sit down on the table and come to an agreement on these things and say, well, this is the fellowship in which we're brought. We're members of the same spiritual family, joint with Christ. We're going to share now in his rejection. And we'll all have the same hope of that resurrection. And we'll all bow to the Lordship of Christ. That would have created unity instead of division. But now going from there, I took you over to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And without turning to it, I'll just remind you of some of the things you have there. In chapter 1, you'll remember you have fellowship in the service of the gospel. Now, Paul, when he was writing that letter, was lying in the prison at Rome. He's writing back, and he's thanking them, and he's reminding them of the fellowship they've had with him in the gospel. And he's thanking God for it. When you come to chapter 2, there's fellowship in the Spirit, and fellowship with the Spirit, if you care to put it like that. Which means that you and I bring our spirits into obedience to the Holy Spirit. We're guided by the Holy Spirit. We're in fellowship with the Spirit. When you come to chapter 3 of Philippians, there is fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And then you remember in chapter 4, the word is communication, but it's the same word, fellowship. There was fellowship with the servant. But now that's what Paul had to say to the Philippian Christians about fellowship. Let us turn over tonight to John's first epistle. And perhaps what we've got to say tonight will refresh your memories a little with things you heard some long time ago from someone else that spoke here in 1 John. I hope this doesn't weary you tonight to go back to it. First Epistle of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to suggest to you that right down through John's first epistle, he has this key thought of fellowship. Fellowship is mentioned 4 times in chapter 1. Let us read from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. All these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now we'll pause there. John, in his epistle, you will remember, is presenting God as a God of light, as well as a God of love, and a God of life, of course. But here in the opening chapter, I suggest to you the thought is light, and fellowship is linked in chapter 1 with the thought of God as a God of light. Now, a lot of people resent this, all because they haven't studied it. Because others again have taken this and misapplied it. But we must face up this, that fellowship has to do with light. See, a lot of people will stress that fellowship only has to do with life. It's perfectly true, fellowship has to do with life. But it also has to do with light. For example, now, let's take the thought of a family. And I think John, in his epistle, is thinking of the family aspect of the church. Paul, more or less, thinks of the body, with Christ the head. But John seems to have the picture of a family. He does speak of the older men and younger men and the children. Now that being so, before one can be a member of the family, that one must be born and have life. That's obvious. But as we pointed out on Sunday morning when dealing with the prodigal, he turned his back on the light of the home and went away out into the far country. Let me take another illustration. On that last night before the crucifixion in the upper room, one of the 12 rose from the table and went out. And you remember what it said about Judas? He went out and it was night. Now think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ made the claim, I am the light of the world. He was a man who was in the place, along with others, with Christ in the center, so to speak, the light of the world. He turned his back on the fellowship of the others. He turned his back on Christ, who was the light, and he went out, and it was night. Now, he couldn't possibly be walking in the light if he was walking in the darkness. That's obvious. So that fellowship has to do with light. John presents the Lord Jesus Christ here in that aspect of light. That which we have seen, have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, doesn't that correspond much with what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Now, let us take this over in contrast to what some people think. Here's a group of people, and we're going to admit, perhaps, that they're all Christians. Professedly, they're all Christians. They have formed themselves into a local church in a certain town. But somehow or another, they have become like a bunch of Pharisees. And they talk of their particular group as the fellowship. The fellowship. Not a fellowship, but the fellowship. And one of them deliberately said that they were the only testimony that God had in that town. They were the only church in that town that God recognized. What an ego. What an ego. Because I happen to know that particular town. I lived at one time only about 3 miles from it. And I knew that there was at least 5 or 6 different groups of people in that town who all bore a bright and good testimony for God and for the things of the Word. But then you see, they thought that they spoke of it as they were the testimony in that town. On one occasion, they were going to have some special meetings, and they thought they would invite a certain man to come along because they were going to make the thrust for the children of the area. This man was a very good speaker to children, and so they decided that they wanted him. Well, two of them went along to interview him one night when he was pretty near to them, just in another town, and they called him aside and they said, we are anxious to have you to come and give us 2 weeks of special meetings with the children. Well, he says, if the time is suitable, I'd be very willing. They said, oh yes, but there's only one thing we've got to decide first. He said, what would that be? Do you go outside the fellowship? He said, what? They said, we have heard that you go outside the fellowship. And he looked at the two of them. He says, the only fellowship I know is the fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with all those that love the Lord. That's the extent of my fellowship. And that's the only fellowship, he said, I recognize. You see the difference. They had narrowed themselves down to a certain little circle, and they called that the fellowship. This man had a wider aspect of things than they had, and his fellowship would have taken in all those that were in fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That was the fellowship he recognized. Now, says John, that's our fellowship. You see, there's a principle of fellowship here, in verse 3. But do we have any participation in that fellowship? Because fellowship, you will remember, means participation. Fellowship is not something you look at through the window. Fellowship isn't something you just think about. Fellowship is something you participate in. It's a participation. A partnership, if you like. And as I said on Sunday night, we're not supposed to be sleeping partners, just drawing the interest from it. We're supposed to be working partners, putting in. You've heard of the little boy whose daddy was a Methodist circuit preacher. And he was going away into another place one night to preach, and he took his little boy with him. And it seemed it was the custom in that place that the visiting preacher usually got the collection that was taken at the evening service. Treasurer just handed him the box and he took what was in it, and that was his. And so that particular night, when he got out, he was telling his boy just how little he got, and he showed his boy what he got. He says, "Well, Dad, if you'd put more in, you know, you would have got more out. If you put more in, you would have got more out." Take that same thought over spiritually now, spiritually, into a local church gathering. If we would all put more in, we might get more out. But it's not to be left just to one or two to put in. You see, if it's a participation, if it's a fellowship, there's those who contribute to it. I'm not talking of financial contribution, I'm talking of spiritual contributions. We're participating in it. Now, might I ask each of you, do you have an exercise about participation? For instance, Wednesday night, the prayer meeting, we only have approximately 25 minutes to pray, because by the time we sing a hymn, it takes us 25 minutes to pray. Well, you know, if two men were praying for 15 minutes each, that would take us over the time. But if, in 25 minutes, if eight men pray and just take about 3 minutes each, this, you get there. And you know, it's amazing, we could say quite a lot in 3 minutes. By praying. But in view of coming to the prayer meeting, brethren, do you come to the prayer meeting with an exercise to pray about somebody, to pray about something? It doesn't mean you've got to get up and give a long, lengthy discourse in your prayer. You don't need to go through firstly, secondly, and thirdly in the prayer. You don't need to tell the rest of us what's in this verse or what's in the chapter and so on, or what you've been studying. That's not prayer. See, in prayer we're not speaking to one another. When we pray, we're praying on behalf of one another, and we're speaking to God. I think I told you once before about an old man who was, he didn't have much education. His English was very poor. It was worse than some of the southern expressions, however. He used to get up and use all his Irishisms that were difficult to understand. One old man went to him one time and suggested to him that he should study English a little so that he'd be able to express himself more intelligently. He looked at the man, he said, "I wasn't speaking to you." He said, "I'm speaking to my father." He says, "He understands what I'm saying." And you know, it's true. He understands what we're saying. We may make mistakes. We may use the wrong word. We may put it the wrong way. But he understands what we're saying. And you know, when a little child begins to speak, the child doesn't always make sense the way it says things. But my, the parents think it's wonderful. Especially when they hear the child beginning to speak. to say a word or two, and then to say a sentence. It's wonderful. I wonder how our Heavenly Father feels when he hears us beginning to speak. What do you think we think when we hear young Christians getting to their feet and seeking to thank the Lord? He has come with an exercise to participate and to put something into the prayer meeting. Even if it's only a sentence or two sentences, and you ask God for something and say Amen, the rest will say Amen. When we come together on a Sunday evening to remember the Lord, do you come prepared to participate? Those of you perhaps whom the Lord has gifted to take part and whatnot, do you ever think of looking out a hymn that would be most appropriate? And here all of a sudden somebody else gets up on their feet and they say something just along the lines of what you've been thinking. Or it may be you've been meditating on the word and you see something there and somebody gives out a hymn that just strikes the chord. You say, oh my, that's it. And here you're exercised. Yeah, you know, I often think of this when our brother Paul and Sister Lisa come up here with those instruments. You know, if I was to play one of these, I would have to mark them all out, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol. I would need to see the thing written there, but there's nothing written on these things at all. I wonder how they know where to put their fingers, you know. But you notice what they do before they start? How they ping, 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 and they get the chord. I wonder if they didn't do that, if they just came up and just whoosh. I wonder what it would sound like. But you see they're in tune. And because both of them are in tune and they're playing, oh my, you just think at times you're in heaven when you hear them. If you and I are in tune, if we're in tune, then the Holy Spirit can touch the chord. Have you ever sat at a break of bread service with a hymn on your mind and your finger in the book? And you just wait a split second. And somebody gives out that very hymn. You turn that. You ever had that experience? I've had that often. Oh, I just say Amen. It proves to me that someone else was thinking the same as myself. But you see, you don't get disappointed because somebody else gives out a hymn you were going to give out. That's all right. That's the hymn. You just sing it with the rest and say Amen. Come with an exercise. A participation. But look, there's such a thing as pretense to fellowship. Pretense. If we say that we have fellowship with them and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's a lot of unconverted people, unsaved people, who talk of fellowship. They've never come to the light. They don't know anything about the light. They're walking in darkness. How can a person walking in darkness be walking in the light at one and the same time? You can't do it. If you're walking in darkness, then you're not walking in the light. What a pretense. And there are people today who make the pretense. Now he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. People who use the name of God, people who use the name of the Father, people who speak of Jesus Christ, but are still in darkness. They know nothing about true fellowship. But if we walk in the light, always sing about it, don't we? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way when we do his good word. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You see, first of all, there's the light of the word. And if we walk in the light of the word, we're walking in his light. And we know that we're walking with him. How can two walk together except to be agreed? They can't. And here you'll find if we're walking in the light, then we're in perfect accord with the Lord. We'll bow to the Lord's word. We'll bow to his will. And we're walking in fellowship with him. And if we have fellowship with him, we're walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that fellowship? See, things that are equal to the same thing are equal to one another. Let me go back again to another verse that I like to mention from time to time. It's found away back in John chapter 10. It says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and there shall be. Now I know our King James Version says one fold, but the correct word is one flock. There shall be one flock with one shepherd. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What fold? The fold of Israel. But he had sheep there and he was going to lead them out. He would call them by name and they would follow him. So they left the fold of Israel and they followed a shepherd. Now it's better to have a shepherd than to have a fold. A fold is made up of four walls. A flock is made up because it has a center. And the center is the shepherd. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And he brings those from the fold and he brings the other sheep who are not of that fold, they're the Gentiles. Bringing some from the Jewish fold and bringing others who are not of that fold, and because they have a common attachment to the same shepherd, they become one flock. And they have fellowship one with another because they're members of the same flock following the same shepherd. It's the same thought here. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And if we're following him and have fellowship one with another, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you see how necessary it is to be obedient to the light and to follow the Lord in the light, walking in perfect agreement with him. And if we're walking in agreement with him, we're walking in agreement with one another. We're having fellowship one with another. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. That was the light they had. The apostles' teaching. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in fellowship, or in the fellowship. And it's a very wide fellowship. It takes in all those who are following the Lord, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayer. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. The sweetest thing I know on earth is fellowship with other Christians. Fellowship with other Christians. A dear man who has been in heaven for some years told us this a number of years ago before he died. He was being confined to the house for some time owing to sickness. And he sat down one day and he began to make a list of all the people who had showed kindness to him over the years he had been preaching. And he looked up his address books and diaries and so on. And he decided he was going to send a little note of thanks to each of them as far as he could remember, as far as his thoughts could go. And he said, you know, Willie, he says, I've sent over 100 away this week. He'd written to over 100 people who had showed kindness to him, with whom he had had fellowship over the years. It made me think, and I've tried to figure it out often. I've lost count for 40 years now since I've been moving around full time in the Lord's service. Now think of the hundreds of places I've visited over those years, and the multiple hundreds of homes where I've had fellowship, the Christians I've met. Brothers and sisters, it's the sweetest thing on earth, fellowship with like-minded Christians. Go in for it. Foster it. Let us help to foster it here in this assembly. that will continue not only in the teaching, but also in fellowship and in the breaking of bread.